From the roar of Autzen to the hardwood of Matthew Knight Arena and all along the recruiting trail, this is your podcast home for all things green and yellow. You are ducking around with Marcus Greaves.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Ducking Around podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. So we're going to jump right into it because I know there was a lot of heartbreak just this last Friday. Ducks fell to the Oregon State Beavers, 41-38. What a game that was. I obviously was not at the game. I was in the studio watching it with my man, who is actually joining us as we speak, Mr. Travis Tyke, Coin Sports Executive Producer. Travis, my man, we appreciate you hopping on. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. What a week. What a week in Oregon, in the state of Oregon football.
I know, huh? It was an interesting one, man. And you and I sat in the studio and watched that game. And there was I think it was like three or four times we looked at each other. We're like, man, it's just nice to have a good game, like a back and forth game, big plays on both sides, not just for offense, but for defense as well, for both teams. I thought it was pretty interesting, man. I mean, just sitting in there and seeing finally a competitive game between these two was actually kind of refreshing.
Oh, it was wildly refreshing. I mean, that's what, you know, we were talking about it, and just the amount of times that we said, man, this game is more than we could have asked for. And, you know, we talked about it before where I felt like there was a path for Oregon State to win, but I still didn't pick the Beavs to win it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I picked the Ducks to win by at least, I think I said 8 points, and then right. I even, you know, after I said that on the record, I was like, man, they could win by 14 and, you know, just proven wrong. So it was more than we could have asked for. It is refreshing. It is so important for this state to have that rivalry be what it is. And it feels like this time it's going to be a little more sustainable. You know, and you know, back when you were on the Beef squad in 2016, you know, it was a big win when it was then called the Civil War.
Right.
And, you know, fast forward to 2020, though, this feels much more, and I hate to, I'm not trying to dog your 16 team, but this win feels a little more important. It be, from the standpoint that back in 2016, honestly, with Anderson, with Gary Anderson as the head coach, that team was never going to build on that. That team was never going to build on that success. And the Ducks at the time, they were a 4-win team. They weren't even breathing on a bowl game. And this time you have an Oregon State team that finally looks like it's, you're really seeing the fruits of the rebuild labor, and they beat a ranked Ducks team on primetime on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And I trust this head coach. You know, I've said it on the air before, but I think Gary Anderson goes down as the worst head coach in Oregon State football history. And I think that 2016 win was very smoke and mirrors. In 2020 for the Beavers, it feels very real in that this rivalry is back.
Mm-hmm. Which is the biggest thing, because I think a lot of the time, like we've seen in the past, you know, quite some years ago, I should say in the past, but that, you know, what was then the Civil War, now we just call it the rivalry game until we figure it out. But that game meant a lot because for a few seasons, it meant who was going to the Rose Bowl. It meant, you know, both these teams are top teams in the conference. Whoever wins this game is going to take that next step and be, air quotes here, an elite team compared to just a great team. So I think that is huge just for the rivalry and the state in general. But Travis, let's actually talk about the game for the Ducks. So, you know, same thing I went on record saying, basically, I think the Ducks are going to win by, you know, maybe a touchdown, maybe 10 points. Mm-hmm. And then later when you were talking about, I was like, man, Travis might be right. I think, you know, the Ducks can maybe walk away with this one pretty early if obviously they do what they need to do. So the biggest thing for me in this game was the difference between the first half and the second half. So in that first half, the Ducks looked dominant, not just line of scrimmage, quarterback play, running backs, you know, receivers, but the defense. I thought the defensive backs were tackling great. I thought the linebackers were reading extremely well. For the Ducks, you're going up against arguably the best running back in the entire country in Jamar Jefferson. So you know that they were going to have to bring a different kind of energy and a different kind of juice, because this is no more, you know, the rivalry game that you could walk in if you're the Ducks and win by 50, right? That's not how it is anymore. So I want to get your thoughts, what you saw from the first half compared to the second half from the Ducks.
I kind of attribute it to the Beavs. I think they came out in the second half and punched Oregon in the mouth a little harder than they may have expected. You know, this is the first time that we've seen this Oregon team, because like you said, in the first half defensively, they gave up the breakaway touchdown to Jamar Jefferson, the 82-yarder, which is the longest play from scrimmage for the Beavs, at least from a rushing standpoint in the rivalry's history. But other than that, they didn't give up any touchdowns. You know, they bent a couple of times and gave up a couple field goals, but they never broke. And that obviously completely flipped in the second half. I think it's a tribute to the Beavs. I think that they started to mix it up. I think that, and to your point, you know, I'm watching, remember, like you said, you and I are watching this together live. Jamar Jefferson deserves so much credit, and the offensive line, which you've seen in the awards following the week, you know, you've seen a couple awards come out to that O-line. You've seen a couple shout outs, you know, both regionally and nationally to Jim Mahalchuk, the O-line coach. So, I mean, those are very much deserved, but the impact that Jamar Jefferson brings to this team cannot be understated. Right. And again, we said this on the air that it took a game on primetime for the world to finally notice him. And the Ducks, I think they just got caught, you know, they just got caught. I don't feel like they underestimated him. I think that Andy Avalos is a fantastic defensive coordinator with a ton of talent, but I think they just didn't handle the punch in the mouth the way that we're normally used to seeing an Oregon team able to handle that.
Right. And especially these past 2 weeks, we've kind of been talking about it in our sports show Game On, but I was saying, listen, we haven't seen this Ducks team really be challenged in the past couple seasons. You know, obviously they lost to Auburn last year, early the first game of the season. We saw them challenge against Arizona State, but it was overall just sloppy game. With a normal season, if you know anyone who knows college football, you know, late road conference games in November are, it's like a dead brutal sentence, right? Yeah, it's just brutal because there's so much that goes into that game. But everything, obviously this season has been a little thrown off, but like you said, talent-wise, Ducks are there. Coaching-wise, Ducks are there. I just think, listen, the Beavs aren't a trash team anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying – and take that obviously with a grain of salt. I was on the Beavs, so which is why I called them trash, because we're not very good. But just in general, seeing that game, it just looked like, listen, like you said, Oregon got punched in the mouth, and they didn't respond how they usually do. Just like we saw with Wisconsin, where in this Rose Bowl game last season was that – Wisconsin was punching back. They were punching back hard, but the Ducks just kept climbing, fought back, and then, you know, obviously made it to the top of the mountain in that win. And against UCLA, I think their talent saved them in that one, because I don't think they played very good. Mario Cristobal will say they didn't play very good. Most of those guys will agree that they did not play a very good game. But what did they do? They responded well. They have an unreasonable amount of talent, which saved them. But I think in a rivalry game, anything can happen, right? Absolutely anything. So I just think at that point, like you said, Oregon got punched in the mouth. They didn't respond well. And then from there, Oregon State saw that and they took full advantage of it. And even if there was no crowd there, there's something to be said about playing on your home turf. You know what I'm saying? Like it does bring a different aspect to the game. But Travis, so we talked about the physical game. I want to talk about after the game now. So now is a chance. If I'm an Oregon fan, and I know everyone's going to overreact, that's just how it goes when you lose to your rival, right? You're going to say, you know, scrap the whole staff, scrap the whole roster, scrap the whole season.
I hope nobody's saying that. I don't think anybody in Oregon say. I mean, there's still three. It's still Cristobal. I mean, I don't think people are saying scrap it. But you have probably some people pressing the panic button.
Oh, for sure. And that's the thing is, like, listen, it happens, right? All good things have to come to an end. You're not going to win every game by 50. That's just not how it works, unless you're Alabama. And even then, Alabama has some games where you're like, how did they lose? But I think now is a perfect time, and I want to get your thoughts on this, for not just the Ducks to prove something, but Mario Cristobal. So Mario Cristobal obviously has had his losses, right? I think he's had 4 or 5 since he's been at Oregon, which – must be nice, but
yeah, I'll say that's not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. But the way he responds now, I think will say a lot about who he is. And this is why I love Mario Cristobal, because Travis, you and I watched the post-game press conference, and let's be honest, that guy was mad. And he wasn't just mad. You saw it by the way he carried himself. But and Mario Cristobal is kind of an intimidating dude, man. So when you see how upset he is, you know he's coming with a different kind of fire to the next game, the game after that, then to finish the season. So I want to get your thoughts, because I think this is the perfect time for them, as for Mario Cristobal, I should say, to prove something. Say, listen, yeah, we had a bad loss, and we got, you know, we got punched in the mouth. We didn't respond well, but this is how we're going to respond. And this is why I'm the head coach of one of the most talented teams in the country, because we can do this X, Y, and Z after a loss and bounce back. So what are your thoughts on that, I guess, in regards to how they bounce back from this?
Well, I think it's exactly that. I mean, listen, the guy, at least the Mario Cristobal that we see as the media, because remember, this is, especially the year like this, you know, we're not at practices. We're not talking to him after every practice and getting that feel where you build not even just a rapport, but you build a stronger sense for what's happening at practice. And yes, we still talk to him through Zoom, but it's not the same. You know, you don't see, because even when you're down at the Hatfield-Allen complex, you know, you see the players, you know, walking out from practice, you know, you kind of get the vibe. You see who's happy with what's gone on, who's not, you know, you can hear coaches yelling. And so you're brought into it a little bit. And, you know, obviously it's for all the right reasons with the pandemic, but you know, we're disconnected from that now. So the Cristobal, regardless though, you know, he's always pretty positive on camera, and not positive as in like, it's not like it feels fake. Right. It's that he's always going to be optimistic. He'll never lie about where his team is struggling. But he'll have a positive outlook on it. And so the Cristobal that we see is still very positive. You know, Honestly, a guy who I don't listen to their full or even participate always in their full press conferences are the coordinators, just due to schedules. And this last week, I was able to listen to the entire Andy Avalos press conference. And, you know, he was positive. He's up front, very Cristobal-esque in the sense it's like, hey, we have this and this to work on. This didn't go well, but guys are hungry. You know, we were humbled, and it's tried to attack things again with that championship mentality. And that's, I know a lot of it sounds kind of cliche, but that's what a good football team does. Like, yeah. I mean, you could speak to it after. I'm sure there are a few guys that are getting grilled in film sessions and maybe leaving a couple classrooms one day after a film session with their heads down. Right. But that's college football. That's football in general. And at the end of the day, these guys are pretty positive, and they're embracing the challenge. I mean, the reality is it's just one loss, and the Ducks are still in total control of whether or not they even get to a Fiesta Bowl.
Right.
So that's when we talk about people overreacting, and I said it on several of our broadcasts, you can't press the panic button. You're still 3-1.
Right.
You still have Washington coming up, which is essentially a Pac-12 North championship game. Mm-hmm. If Oregon wins out, they're in the Pac-12 championship. They win the Pac-12 championship, they're in the Fiesta Bowl. It's not like the sky is falling. And so I think that this coaching staff is able to put that in perspective. And it's not hard to keep this team hungry when you still have a BCS Bowl to play for.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's kind of the big thing for me is the sky is not falling. Listen, one win, that's tough. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I would love to have a one win or a one loss season, I should say, at Oregon State, but unfortunately, but hey, that's the reality of it. But it's just the way you respond and how you bounce back. And I think Mario Cristobal and his staff will do a great job of doing that. They'll prepare the guys exactly how they would any other week, because again, you don't press the panic button. You don't bench Tyler Shuck at quarterback. You don't scratch your head and say, okay, well, let's scrap, you know, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. What is Mario Cristobal doing? Do we give him an extension? The recruits are starting to decommit, and everyone's just losing their mind right now. That's just, listen, between the recruits decommitting, or one of them did, a wide receiver did. And that's just how it goes, man. I mean, these guys are 17, 18 years old. They're going to change their mind a handful of times. From experience, I did that 3 or 4 times. So you're all good. You know, that's just how it goes. And, you know, the Ducks are still going to have one of the top recruiting classes in the country. You know, you still have great talent on the roster. You still have a great quarterback, great, you know, coordinators, a phenomenal head coach. I mean, there's a lot to be positive about if you're a Ducks fan. So totally. Don't overreact. Relax. It's okay. The sky is not falling, and everyone will be okay.
I want to say one thing on the Tyler Shuck beat, because it's so easy for these, you know, what do we call them? Keyboard warriors on Twitter to fire, you know, hot takes at Tyler Shuck and say he's terrible. First of all, I'm not going to go out and claim this guy is Justin Herbert. I'm not going to do that. But to say this guy is horrible, I feel like is not accurate.
Right.
I mean, first of all, all these guys are these fans, I should say, are comparing him to Justin Herbert. You know, that's tough. That's tough on a sophomore who isn't Justin Herbert. He's a good college quarterback. You know, I feel like the most annoying thing that you can call a college or any quarterback for that matter is a game manager. But in a lot of ways, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of what he is. You know, he had a couple turnovers at Oregon State. You know, he'll learn to kind of get rid of those. But I trust him with the football more or less. I don't feel like he's typically losing the football. He still put up 38 points. That's not a bad game. And he was very poised. And that's what I was impressed with was, you know, even as a sophomore, he still had a really calm demeanor, a very solid head on his shoulders. So, you know, is this guy the next Herbert, the next Mariota? No, but to say that he is trash and needs to be benched is just, it's just not there.
It's asinine.
It is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, he's a great quarterback, but you take him across the country, I guarantee you he could start at almost every single other college. I mean, the guy is talented. Listen, this is why we have to say, don't overreact. It's one loss. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what, like, look at what one loss got you, you know, the Duck fans last season. One loss at the beginning of the season ended up going all the way to the postseason. And then from there, listen, you still won the Rose Bowl and you had two losses. I mean, come on, you know, I know it hurts more because it's Oregon State and then there's the whole trash talking thing, but listen, it is what it is. You guys can respond well. You have a great quarterback. Great. Like I said, I just went off on a rant saying a lot of great things about the program. That's how they're going to stay. Oregon State is not a horrible team. You know, Oregon State is starting to trend upwards finally. So seeing how this is all playing out, I think it's pretty funny. But listen, at the end of the day, Ducks are still a very elite team. And like you said, Travis, they still control their destiny. So that's actually all we have for you on this episode of Ducking Around, Travis. I want to thank you so much for hopping on. His name is Travis Tyke. He is our sports executive producer. You can always find him on Twitter at what, Travis?
Travis Tyke SPX.
He brings the hot takes, and yes, he will post a picture of me horribly tying a tie and embarrass me for millions and millions of people to see.
We're getting better. We're getting reps. We got to get reps in.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, Travis, man, thank you so much for hopping on. We appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Ducking Around podcast. We'll talk to y'all next week.